You want to make your fantasy sports league more than a fantasy? Then you need Trophy Smack.
It's the number one store for fantasy and tournament trophies, belts, draft boards, loser awards, and other ridiculous products.
Trophy Smack is more than just a trophy company with outstanding customer service and products. It's the very essence and heart of every fantasy league. And if you click now, TrophySmack.com gives you free shipping, a free loser poster, and can have the hardware to you in a few days, bragging rights included. Go to TrophySmack.com right now and take your fantasy league to the next level.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Those that are listening to us at home, first of all, thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you for downloading this episode. Thank you for leaving a review and some kind words on iTunes. If you would, you know, just happen to do that, it would be great. We're live on Periscope and YouTube. You can search Dynasty Happy Hour and you can click to subscribe. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you can find it absolutely everywhere. And don't forget about DynastyHappyHour.com as well. We've got some really good articles on there. There's The Gauntlet of the Late Round Receivers by Chase Vernon, which also takes a look at late round rookies that can make an impact. My boy Joe Reed is on that list. We may talk about a little bit about him this evening. I was gone last week. I was on vacation on Cape Cod, so I am back now. I've had quite the day. We were just talking about our jerseys. So, Tyler, you know, there was some Deshaun Kizer talk on Twitter, and Tyler was like, you know what, I'm going to have some fun and wear a Deshaun Kizer jersey. He's told me to wear a fun jersey. I wore Ocho Cinco because when I think of fun in the NFL, Chad Johnson is my dude. I've got this two extra large jersey on. It's fitting me like an absolute tarp. I should put it in the donation pile, but I love Chad Johnson so much. I've left it hanging in the closet.
Doug had a fan on before we started and I told him to turn off because it would legit pull him back. It was almost like something you'd use on Fortnite when you're dropping down on the map.
Doug, like a flying squirrel, yeah. Like a squirrel suit.
Whee! Yeah, pretty much. It's fun. I mean, Doug, welcome back. I know you were on Cape Cod. You didn't lose your phone, right?
I did not even go near the ocean. Phone is intact. It is good to go. I had quite the day today, though, Tyler. Would you like to hear about it?
Did you have a doozy of a day?
It sucked. So anyway, so here's my day. I wake up. We get up early. We want to hit the road by around 8 o'clock this morning. We have about a 2.5-hour drive back to Rhode Island from Cape Cod. Now, Tyler, you're probably not too familiar with Massachusetts, but in New England, there's that little arm in Massachusetts that hangs out in the Atlantic Ocean. We're hanging out right at the tip of the Cape on that arm on the East Coast. So I get the car all loaded up. Jacqueline's taking care of the kids. I'm like a freaking pack mule lugging out bags. The back of our Explorer is chock full of everything. So I get it all full. We get the kids in their seats. I go to start the truck, which is a 2018 Ford Explorer. Real nice one. And all I hear is click, 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 click. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Starter went out.
So I thought it was a starter. This has happened in my Explorer, which is a 2015. And when that happened, it was the battery just died. So we still had power in the truck. And then eventually we had no power in the truck. So I'm like, all right, let me try and reset take off the battery off the post, see if it just needs to be reset, as that's worked before. That didn't work. Luckily, the guy at the resort had a jumper pack. So that jumped us. We got the car started. And then I was like, you know what? We're just going to drive and we're not going to stop. I have to get gas. I'm just going to put it in park. We're going to gas it up. We're going to go all the way home because our dealership is like 5 minutes from the house. So we get all the way home. Everything's safe. The truck is starting normally now. It did have a lot of corrosion on the battery terminal, so maybe that was the issue. So we get that done. I'm tired. I'm not feeling well. I decided to mow the lawn today, do laundry. And I'm like, why is the laundry not done? And it tells me it's got a no drain signal. So I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? So now the washing machine's full of wet clothes. So I take I just do a spin cycle. It doesn't drain. So I get them a little dryer. I throw them in the dryer. They're in there for like, I don't know, like 2.5 hours, it seems like. I pull apart the washing machine. And where the pump motor is, there's a little, like almost like a fan that turns to pump the water. So I take it all apart. And there's a huge freaking rock in it that stopped it from working.
So, who put the rock in the washer?
I don't know where the rock came from. Must have been in my son's pocket or something when we were on the beach. He didn't even remember it. So the rock whirled its way all the way through and got stuck. So I pulled it all apart. I got it fixed, put it all back together. Our 18-month-old is just into everything and just an absolute terror. So today was a day that I would like to forget.
I mean, you literally had everything fall apart, it seems. But it's good to have you not fall apart with everything going on. You know what, Doug? Football is in 2 weeks. I do want to mention something. I told everybody that we're going to explain what we're going to do during the season. So what we are actually going to do is Doug, Tim, and I are going to take a week off in between. So week one, we're going to be on. Week two, we'll be off. Week three, we'll be on. So the odd weeks, we will be
odd
on.
Weeks.
We will have Chase Vernon, who has his own pod, the Fantasy Football Intervention. Awesome, awesome guy. He's going to do our spot-ins for the even weeks. He's going to be solo or bring on a writer. And then he's going to talk about that week and kind of what happened and kind of break it down in 20 minutes or 20 to 30 minutes. I've given him a time frame. And he's kind of panicking on the time frame, but I said, you know, keep it short and sweet. Let's go. It's just a way for Doug, Tim, and I not to get burnt out in season. I know the footballers, ESPN, they get more of the traction, and the redraft is what you guys want to hear. Yep. And with us, we want to bring you info fresh. And when it came weekly, it just seemed like it was wash, rinse, repeat. We couldn't get that new info just because we talked about things already.
And we got burnt out by like week eight. We're just like, ugh.
Yes. And there's, I know you guys can't like, you guys are like, wow, why, how would they get burnt out by football? It's a real thing. It happens to everybody. So in order for us to stay fresh and give you guys this amazing info, we are going to do bi-weekly in season. I'm sorry if you guys are upset about it, but like I said, Chase is going to come in with those even weeks and give you guys great info. We're going to bring on writers with him and give them an opportunity to get on the mic and talk some football.
And I'll take a moment to pump my other podcast. If you're into redraft as well, you can check out Trophy Time, where I talk with my brother-in-law, Josh, every week, and we go over pretty much all the league stuff as well. And then I do a solo pod, which comes out every Friday, which goes over every single game in the NFL. I go over every single fantasy relevant player, sit, starts, sleepers, breakouts, you name it. I cover it all, what I think of them that week. And you can check that out. That's called Guru Game Guidance, which is also on the Trophy Time feed. So if you're into redraft, check it out.
One last thing. We are getting new gear. We're getting new shirts and everything we're working with. I'm working with somebody, Doug. There is a chance we're going to get draft, trade, win, repeat. It's our slogan. We don't bring it up much, but that's what we're known for. We're going to get that on some shirts. Doug, I'm in the works to get a Jared Cuck shirt in.
Oh my God. It has to be him in a uniform sitting in a corner.
Yes.
My only request.
He asked us what we kind of do. And I said, stats and stuff. I mean, is something that we brought up. And also, The Jared Cuck, the accidental Jared Cuck talk. And
so good.
It's funny. Maybe not buy it for your kids, but we're looking for it to be available. And if you guys have any other like things that you guys remember from the podcast that you would love on a shirt, let us know. It'd be great. Maybe skinny Doug shirts or bring back hashtag fat Doug shirts.
He's never coming back. That guy is
dead.
That guy is dead. I will not allow it. Right.
Let's talk football. We got a lot of cool things coming from DHH. All the writers are spitting out great info, but let's get into this, the camp talk.
Yeah, we got camp talk. But before we get to that, Tyler, let's not put the cart before the horse, if you will. I know I've been looking for a new challenge and new formats. You know, I've been playing fantasy in a lot of different formats, and I stumbled upon Dynasty Owner, and that's why I'm going to start playing on Dynasty Owner.
I'm going to stop you.
Why?
I actually drafted on Dynasty Owner the other day.
I haven't done it yet, but I want to.
I'm going to give you how much fun I had. You know, people hear the read, but I want to give you the live action. This was so fun. The strategy is insane. You never know what's going to happen. I did a draft with like Dynasty Nerd, Garrett. We had Dynasty Rewind guys. Come on. They drafted. I mean, Jonathan Taylor went 103 in the startup. because of the contract.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire,
101. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was 101.
Dang.
And the scoring is you have a separate, like, it's like a practice squad and then a bench. Your bench scores 20% of your points that week. So it's not quite, it's not quite super flex, but quarterbacks do matter. If you have two good quarterbacks, you're going to do pretty well. And like the strategy of the draft is insane. Like Julio didn't get taken for so long because he has a $22 million cap hit on your team. And it's crazy. Like
Gardner Minshew before Tom Brady. Let's go.
I mean, Kirk Cousins, I don't even think was drafted. That's how insane it is for the contracts. And it was so fun because you just had no idea. You're in these dynasty drafts and you're sitting there like, okay, this guy's got to come off soon. I mean, he's best available. He's young. No, I mean, you're going to get shocked. Like, I was so pumped to get Cam Akers in the fourth round. Like, I was like, how is this happening? He's on a rookie contract. Let's go. I drafted Chris Godwin in the second round, but then I step back and I'm like, oh, crap. He's going to have a new contract
next year.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there. Okay. I drafted Carson Wentz late because he had a $32 million contract and I had some space. I mean, the strategy is nuts and it's so fun. I suggest you guys even go do a mock and then sign up because if you do not play in this league, it makes you better. Like the style of contracts and actually it helps in real life because, okay, this guy's got this huge contract. What is his future like? Delvin Cook went later because nobody knows. It was a blast. And we'll
talk a little bit about Delvin Cook here momentarily. But yeah, make sure you go on dynastyowner.com/DHH. There's leagues that are forming now. Definitely for you diehard fantasy football fanatics and skilled players out there that want to manage your rosters just like the real NFL with salaries and the salary cap. It adds an entirely new level of strategy. So again, go to dynastyowner.com/DHH and validate those fantasy football skills. You can do it today. And while you're there, if you want to get a trophy for a league that you're going to run, no better place to go than Trophy Smack. Use code DHHRING to get a free $60 ring with the purchase of a trophy. They've got belts. They've got draft boards as well. So if you do have an upcoming draft, I have my in-person draft coming up on Saturday where I'm keeping Miles Sanders and Josh Jacobs. It's a redraft with keepers. So I'm pretty stoked to keep those two guys. And I have the third overall pick as well as the 11th overall pick. So I am going to build a winner in that league. It's my big money league as well. So definitely looking forward to that. I got our draft board already ready to roll. So let's get into some camp buzz, Tyler, shall we?
Let's do it. We're going to skip the news, go right to this camp buzz. There's a lot going on today. Woo.
There is a lot. So I got lots of news and notes. We might get a little sideways and that's fine, but we got a lot to talk about. So the first one, and I was kind of bummed at myself. Tyler and I are both in the Ultimate Dynasty Podcast League, which I've won before, which is awesome. And I was like, how did I not pick up Gunnar Olszewski? Like, the guy's right in my backyard. I've been hearing good things about him for a couple of weeks now.
I
was like, oh, Tyler made a move. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize Gunnar Olszewski was available. God dang
yeah,
it.
I actually had him at the end of the season last year, and he was kind of on a roster cut when we did our rookie draft. So,
yeah,
luckily he was still there.
Yeah, they've been saying that Gunnar looks like the second best receiver in camp outside of Julian Edelman. N'Keal Harry's had some ups and downs. He's actually been looking a lot better recently and building a little bit of a rapport with Cam Newton. So N'Keal Harry, kind of like Ronald Jones, like his camp has been like, oh, it's amazing, or oh, he had some drops. So it depends on the day is how you're going to get your news. But Gunnar Olszewski been playing quote-unquote fearless across the middle and all over the place. I had a buddy reach out to me today and text me. He's like, what do you think about Gunnar on a deep dynasty league? I'm like, yeah, it's worth a stash. I said, they could use him kind of like how they used Danny Amendola when they had Edelman as well.
Yeah.
I could see him fitting that role perfectly. You know, obviously different quarterback situation, Tom Brady versus Cam Newton. But for a guy that's going to be free in your deeper dynasty leagues, no reason not. He's going to make the team because he's a special team guy. Bill really likes
him. He's a great gunner.
He is a great gunner. He's the number one gunner. What?
Nice.
You big timers fans out there. So he's going to make the team and he could carve out a role here in the passing game. I mean, they got Sanu, Edelman, Harry, Demir Bird, and Gunner, and then a bunch of bags of guys. I don't know. He could step up, and maybe he ends up being the third wide receiver on this team. Maybe, just maybe, just like Julian Edelman replaced Wes Welker, maybe Gunnar Olszewski replaces Julian Edelman in a year or two. Talk to me.
Yeah,
Tyler.
My favorite thing about Gunnar is you look at the pictures of him hanging out with the guys
straight out the trailer.
Oh God, it's hilarious. And Julian Edelman's kind of got his style of attitude, kind of like he's got the swag. Gunnar, it's almost like he's coming straight out of Letterkenny. Like that's what it reminds me of. Yeah. If you haven't seen
he's got the trucker hat, a big wad of chew. Yeah.
Yeah, the dude is awesome to just follow and watch. And he seems like he's the perfect replacement for Edelman. And yeah, if you don't have him and he's available, go get him. I mean, there's got to be somebody on your roster that's worth a drop
for
him to pick up.
Yeah, also Damian Harris, we don't have him on this list, but I'll add because I'm obviously close to the heartbeat of the situation. Damian Harris has been turning heads in camp, looking really good. Sony Michel was recently activated, so he's in camp. We all know Sony Michel is kind of boring and a bit of a plotter. That doesn't have breakaway speed or anything like that, and he's an absolute zero in the passing game. So I think Damian Harris may have an opportunity here to unseat Sony Michel. Now, in most rookie drafts, you probably spent a second rounder on Damian Harris. Probably frustrated because he played in like three games last year. I threw him in a trade in Capitalist Pigs too to get a deal done. But it looks like Damian Harris might be a thing this year. So I'm looking forward to that. I know I'm adding him in the back end of my redraft leagues as well as my best ball leagues this year because he does have a chance because Sony Michel isn't anything special and he's always freaking hurt. So let's get on to the next guy. Now I know Tyler, this is a guy that I think Tim really liked, but you like him as well. Detroit Lions rookie receiver Quintez Cephas. I've been seeing some Matthew Stafford highlights, and the buzz of camp and for the Detroit Lions is all about TJ Hawkinson absolutely destroying their defense. But talk to me about Quintez Cephas.
Yeah. First thing I want to talk about is Hawkinson, of course, because any chance I can get to talk about the Hawk. So when I heard Stefania Bale talking about his injury, and his injury, it's misstated. People are saying, oh, he's not 100% because he said that. No, he's saying he's getting to 100%. He's starting to feel like it. He still has the ankle. Like he still kind of isn't there mentally, but the ankle seems to be 100%. So he's got to get through that mental hurdle and over that foot injury. But Hawkinson, man, he's going to eat. If he is anything that we expected from that week one last year, if he's like 70% of that, oh, man. Talking about a Mark Andrews jump, that is
the next
guy.
He could be the breakout tight end, absolutely.
Yeah, and we're talking about Quintez Cephas. He's a great late round guy to go for in rookie drafts. He's the only guy in that receiving core that is under contract in 2021. Mm-hmm. I guarantee they're going to get a deal done with Golladay, and I gotta say that Lions offense. Yeah, who knows? Like Kerryon Johnson is in a knee brace because he wants to be in a knee brace. DeAndre Swift has a groin issue that just
he's missed like seven practices in a row. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love DeAndre Swift and I'm all about DeAndre Swift, but I'm kind of looking at this discount for Swift now and I'm still pushing the buy. I still think he's one of the better running backs to come out in a long time. But yeah, I mean, I'm all in on Hawkinson and that's what I'm going to take out of this is Hawkinson, if you have not bought him on this discount for the injury and his foot injury, you are going to struggle to get him after this year.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be a dynasty diamond, if you will. I think, can we coin that? Put that on a shirt.
Dynasty diamond.
Next, we've got some Cincinnati Bengals news. This is a guy that I've liked for a while because he's a Florida State Seminole. So I get to see him. I actually met this man at a game against Boston College and got a picture with him. It's Auden Tate. So beat writers are naming him the MVP of camp so far. Now we saw Auden Tate last year flash when AJ Green was injured for the whole freaking year. Auden Tate has the uncanny ability to make absolutely ridiculous catches. He's kind of like the taller version of Paul Richardson. So Paul Richardson didn't have a really memorable career, but the dude would make acrobatic catches all the time. And Auden Tate is very much like that. You know, he was in that rookie class. When you looked at mocks, he was going at the end of the first round. And then he ran a slow 40. He didn't test all that well. And then he went undrafted in some rookie drafts. So I have Auden Tate in a ton of spots in Dynasty. Now, do I think it's going to happen for Cincinnati? That I do not know. They've obviously got T. Higgins there, wearing number 85 like myself, Bengals. They have Tyler Boyd. They have A.J. Green. They also have John Ross whenever he decides to get healthy. But Auden Tate is a very interesting guy that I don't know. Maybe if AJ Green misses more time, Tate can get some targets. I think it's really going to take Auden Tate to find a second team to kind of pay off on that. But I really like the prospect. I think he has a role in the NFL, whether it's a huge red zone target or downfield guy. I just like his game, and he's been killing it in camp. So do you have Auden Tate anywhere, Tyler?
Yeah, I actually traded away T. Higgins in a deal to get DJ Chark. And then I picked up Auden Tate on the waivers. So
nice.
I feel like I really didn't lose much because Joe Burrow seems to really like Auden Tate in the red zone. Mm-hmm. That's all you hear is Joe Burrow to Auden Tate. Joe Burrow to Auden Tate. By the way, Joe Burrow is going to be awesome. Like anything you hear is Joe Burrow's like, oh, he had a bad day, incompleted like six passes. And you're just like, okay. Like, as you're seeing like other players throw five picks, looking at you, Jared Stidham. But on the other hand, like Auden Tate, if AJ Green isn't fully healthy, Auden Tate is going to get play. They know what he is. He like you said, when he came into the combine, he was big. He wasn't as like, he slimmed down. They're kind of like, okay, are you going to play tight end? Are you going to play wide receiver? We don't know.
Right.
And I think finally he slimmed down, and finally he's like that receiver that you liked and you told me to go watch. I mean, this guy was what, a five-star recruit coming into Florida State? He was
Or five-star. Yeah.
He's a big-time player. And when you have that type of talent coming into college, you've got to follow them if they're making noise in camps. And it's guys like that, like the Isaiah Crowells, the guys that, you know, didn't get drafted or have that athletic ability. Yeah, the athletic ability. You go out and you watch them and you pick them up before they blow up. And I think Auden Tate has a chance.
Yeah, and he could be someone that if everyone's healthy on the Bengals, maybe they trade him and he lands in a spot where it's really good for him. So, yeah, really interested. I like Auden Tate quite a bit as that back-end wide receiver on your roster. So we've got some news out of Buffalo. It's around Zach Moss, Tyler's personally favorite dynasty player of all time, actually. The Bills previously stated that Moss would assume the Frank Gore role, but just a few days ago it was reported that Moss will be a factor in the offense, noting that Moss's role could be undersold. And I actually like him in the passing game. I know his collegiate target share percentage, and I think he had more receptions than Devin Singletary did as well. I'm actually really liking his value in redraft leagues. I've done a couple of mocks, and I've been getting Zach Moss in the double-digit rounds, and I think that's great. And I think in Dynasty, he's one of the few rookies that in all my Dynasty rookie drafts, I didn't get any Zach Moss, I didn't get any Henry Ruggs, and I didn't get any Van Jefferson. And ooh, I look back...
You're going to regret Van.
I wanted him in a bunch of leagues and I didn't get him. He went a couple spots before me in like three leagues. And I was just so mad because I was like, I like Van Jefferson more than a lot of people did, but I couldn't get him in any draft. And Zach Moss was one of those guys. End of the second round. You know, once those receivers were gone, once it was the Chenaults, the Edwards, the Pittman.
That was the issue, is people were taking him ahead of Chenault and the guys like that. And that's where you had to decide if you want
the
higher draft capital receiver or Moss and
Brian Edwards. Like I'd rather have all those receivers than Moss. And that was really what I had to decide, is like, you know what? I want those receivers over Zach Moss. So I'm kind of bummed that I don't own him anywhere in Dynasty. So maybe I'll make a trade for him. So give me your breakdown. What do you think this Buffalo backfield is going to look like, Tyler? Singletary was good last year. What does Moss bring to the table?
I still think it's going to be a split. My guess is it's going to be a 60-40. And honestly, it could be a 50-50 by mid-season.
I think it should be a 69-31.
I still think that Singletary is the best running back in that backfield. I do. I know he has fumbling issues, but you know what? With no preseason or anything like that, they're going to see a lot of issues. I mean, Le'Veon Bell is playing with the second team right now. Let's pump the brakes here, people.
Let's not read too much into that.
Yeah, and I mean, Singletary is a good running back. Zach Moss, I think complements him well. I'm not a big Moss guy. No, not at all. But I do think that they can play well together. They can help each other out. You know, give Singletary some pass catching. And I know Moss is good at it. You know, still to be seen. I'm not giving up the fact that I don't think Moss is that good. I did not like his tape. His tape was kind of having me wanting more. Like Benny Snell was fun to watch in spurts. And same with Zach Moss. Zach Moss had some good tape, but then like just his athletic ability, I just don't know if he can play in the NFL with the linebackers running 4.5s, 4.4s.
People said the same thing about Singletary last year, though.
That's
like
true.
He wasn't fast, but he's quick.
Yeah, the thing about Singletary, though, is he was just dynamic. And I didn't like Moss. I know he played for Utah. I just didn't see it. I didn't see it. It was kind of like a Montgomery mode for me last year. Like Montgomery, my issue was he didn't have burst. He didn't have that initial burst, and Moss kind of had the same feel to me. So I'm still hesitant. I traded my only share of Moss, so I have nothing.
Yeah. So between us, we got donut. We got no Zach Moss. How about Thaddeus Moss? Do you have any of him? He got released.
Yeah, he got released. Oh man.
Yeah, he got released. Yeah, it was funny because he was going like in the third or fourth round in some tight end premium rookie drafts, and I'm like, no, I just didn't see it. Like, and he got released. I don't think he's been picked up by a team yet. So
yeah,
that's all the Moss news I have. I don't know what Sonoris or Santana or Randy are up to right now, but that's all I got for Mosses. All right. So next up, this one's been a big one today. So Jalen Reagor, been playing everywhere. X, Y, Z, every single alphabet letter. He's been playing.
A, B, C.
So today, the Philadelphia Eagles have like the worst luck. So Carson Wentz gets injured. Jalen Hurts is in there. He throws a pick. Reagor, making a tackle, messed up his shoulder. So now he's going to miss 4 weeks, which of course, 4 weeks, it's August 30th. So he's going to miss the first at least, 2 to 3 weeks of the season. And he was being slated to be their potential number one guy as a rookie because they have DeSean Jackson. They have Alshon Jeffrey, who's still hurt. They got Arthega Whiteside, who's had some nice buzz recently. Greg Ward, who could carve out a role like he did last year. But Reagor was in line to get a lot of targets here. So this is a super, super bummer if you drafted Jalen Reagor, because there's nothing better than when you draft a rookie and then be able to get production from him in year one, and maybe he's even a starter for
so
you.
Nice.
So Reagor, I know in redraft, was a lot of people's first rookie wide receiver off the board, but obviously that's going to change now, and he's going to go much later because he's going to miss some time. But I really like what I've seen out of Reagor. A lot of people have been like, oh, he looks like Jeremy Maclin. I'm like, well, that's kind of lame because he wears the same number. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
I saw that analysis.
That's what happens.
Like, really?
That's what happens with a lot of people's eyes. I mean, I guarantee there's going to be plays, like you said, you're wearing Ocho Cinco's jersey. There's going to be plays where T. Higgins makes, and you're like, wow, that's shades of Ocho Cinco. And it's like, okay, come on.
Just because he has the same number, like, you know. Yeah, that drives me nuts. But yeah, so Reagor, that stinks.
J-Jaw. It's J-Jaw season.
Yeah, you know what? He's been getting some camp buzz. I own him everywhere, so I'm just hoping for there to be something. I still like the player. I know he struggled in his rookie year. It is what it is.
My guess is he came in last year lazy, and he kind of was just like, oh, I was highly drafted. I was a second round pick.
He said he had a hard time learning the playbook because they wanted him. He was learning every single position at the receiver position, and he said it was too complicated for him in year one. So I think that if they give him a, like, all right, you're going to play this position, it'll be easier for him and he can shine versus like kind of like analysis paralysis, trying to get him all over the field.
Come on.
No, that's not really who he is.
He went to Stanford. He should be wicked smart.
Yeah, but he's an athlete. So who is taking his classes? We don't know. We're not going to speculate. Next bit of news, Adrian Peterson. Remember him? He's old. Peterson. He's aiming at winning the starting job in Washington. I think he's going to be the starter. Antonio Gibson got hurt, I believe, either yesterday or today. And then you've had positive news about Bryce Love. They've got J.D. McKissick. They've got Peyton Barber.
Everybody's had positive news except Barber. So
yeah, I mean, Peyton Barber is a guy. He's not anything special, but somehow he stays in the league when other players don't. It's weird. But Peterson, I think he's going to be the starter, and then we'll see what happens there. But I guess if I'm on a win now team and I need running back depth, you could probably get AP for pretty cheap, and I guess that would be the move, right?
No. I mean, like Andy from The Footballer said, you're going to have Adrian Peterson. He's going to get over 200 carries. But are you going to feel comfortable starting him any game? Because you're going to need a touchdown out of him. That's the issue. If he doesn't score, you're going to be left with 7-8 points.
I mean, see, he's a good bye week fill-in, though, for depth.
Yeah, we're all talking about depth.
Injuries happen.
Yeah, and COVID this year. So, yeah. I mean, he's going to be a very cheap piece that you might be able to use for a week or so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the Terminator. The dude just doesn't age. So he could be out there running people over. I mean, what if Adrian Peterson ends up with like 1,000 yards and 6 or 7 touchdowns? Would you be shocked?
No. I mean, I'd probably put at like 800, 900 yards, but I could see 1,000.
Because I mean, like you don't need to get that many. You need like 65 yards a game if you play a whole season.
Like you said, he's not human. So
no, he and his handshake. Not to humble brag, I've already thrown one of those out there with Auden Tate, but I have shook Adrian Peterson's hand, and the handshake, it's legendary and it is legit. I was like, oh my God, it was like a vice grip and it was insane. Adrian Peterson, freak of nature. So let's talk about another older player, a good win now piece. So reportedly Golden Tate is leading the Giants receivers. Can you believe this, Tyler? Where is Sterling Shepard? Where is Darius Slayton? What's going on here?
I mean, look at Tate's numbers last year at the end of the year, and he was killing it. Tate is still a good PPR guy that is like AP, cheap. He's older. Nobody wants him. He'll be dirt cheap. And I actually picked up Golden Tate in that Dynasty owner draft I had. I mean, his contract was reasonable, but he's going to be a great bye week fill. So I loved it. And Darius Slayton, I still love. I think he's the deep threat guy. He's the guy that is going to win you weeks. And then he can also get you 4 for 28 or so.
So Amari Cooper.
Yeah, pretty much. Except he's not getting paid $100 million like Cooper is. Yeah. So I still love Slayton. I love his outlook. And yeah, give me the Tate for dirt cheap.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk in Giants camp about Evan Engram as well, having a breakout season. Keyword being break.
Hopefully not break. Yeah, how's it say? Yeah,
hopefully he's not broken because he can't play a full season. Look, we know it's not the issue with talent with Evan Engram. We all know it's the injuries. So I'm hoping that we get a full healthy season out of Evan Engram because I'm interested to see what he can do, to be completely honest. And I think that Giants offense could be a lot of fun to watch if everyone's healthy this year, unlike last year where everyone was bundled and hurt. So let's talk about yet another older player. He's not even that old. What is Todd Gurley? 26?
26. His knees are 86.
God, his knees are 86. You know, so they came out and said this week, Todd Gurley is expected to see 15 to 25 touches per game. If Todd Gurley is your RB2 on your dynasty team, I'm cool with that. I think Todd Gurley is going to outperform his ADP in Dynasty and redraft this year.
He's got RB3 prices though. That's the best part. I mean,
sure.
If somebody came up to you and was like before Montgomery got hurt, I bet you could have swapped Montgomery for Gurley. I bet you, there's still a chance if you add like a third round pick, there's still a chance you could do that. That's Everybody's true. Scared of the knees. The knees are an issue. The knee is an issue. It's an issue. Every team has stated it's an issue. The thing is can he play for 2 or 3 more years? Sure. He's a good pass catching back. He can survive in a different role. So give me that discount that he's getting because he's going in the 5th round of startups, the 6th round of startups, because nobody wants to touch him. And honestly, I'd rather have Todd Gurley than David Montgomery.
I mean, Gurley's in just a great situation this year.
Such a good offense. I mean, they are so good.
A really good offense. Dirt Cutter's offense. The offensive line should be improved. It's going to be way better than what he had in Los Angeles last year. That line was putrid. You know, him getting contacted behind the line of scrimmage, I think he was like 46th in the league. Like, he was really bad. Him and Lev Bell, because those lines were just so awful. I think Todd Gurley, we get a little bit of a resurrection with Todd Gurley. In that offense, there's going to be opportunities for him to score touchdowns. The Falcons always are in the red zone, it seems like. So I think Gurley, and you know, we talk about the passing work. I'm not really worried about Ito Smith or Brian Hill or Kadri Olsen eating into Todd Gurley's work. So if he touches about 15 to 25 touches per game, that's awesome. So I'm trying to buy Todd Gurley at the discount.
The only issue for me is Quadre Olsen in like the one or two yard line. Like when they're right there,
he's
the guy I feel like that they're just going to throw. Yeah, he's thick.
But Gurley is so good at the goal line, though.
He is.
So good.
But if they want to preserve him, I feel like there's going to be chances where he gets taken out around that area. Just be like, okay, let's keep this guy safe. And then honestly, I could see Atlanta signing him for like 2 years, like a Melvin Gordon contract, 2 years, like what, 15 mil, 16 mil a year, or 16 mil spread out over two. I mean, Gurley's the guy that is going to take less money to be more of a championship because the Rams are paying him. So why does he need the money? I mean, the Rams are still paying him.
That is very, very true. Those silly, silly Rams. All right, let's get into some Indianapolis Colts talk. This is specifically for Memphis. Shout out to Memphis. Paris Campbell, he'll be fine after suffering a concussion from a car accident. He's got the inside job for the number two receiver spot after T.Y. Hilton, it sounds like. Michael Pittman has made some plays in camp, but he's struggled with a little bit of drops. We all know that Pittman has a very specific role in that offense.
Yeah.
I think they're going to use him like Vincent Jackson or Malcolm Floyd that Phillip Rivers used to be accustomed to. I think Michael Pittman is going to fit that role. I still love Michael Pittman. Obviously, Paris Campbell, the athletic profile, the speed. You know, everyone drafted him at the end of your first round. I know you were a big Paris Campbell guy, Tyler. So what do you expect from Paris Campbell this year if he's fully healthy, finally?
I could see him being a good wide receiver for a team. And you have got, like, before all this hype in the offseason, he's a guy that you could get for third round pick. And because people are just so scared of the of the injury and now the offense, like, no Andrew Luck. The thing that we got to remember, like, people with, like, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Paris Campbell, they were drafted early for a reason. We all love them. So there's going to be some players this year that kind of fall, you know, have it be a Rager that kind of has an injury plagued rookie season that might fall. Mm-hmm. And you should be picking up because we always have to go back and remember the guys that we loved in the rookie class and that we got to give them kind of a mulligan for the first year.
Sure.
And possibly second year. Or if you're Devontae Parker, your third, fourth, seventh and fifth year. Yeah. Yeah. You got to give them a mulligan.
Wait, what?
Yeah. We'll see on that, but Paris Campbell is so electric and he fits what the offense wants to do. He could be used as a weapon and he's got the speed. You saw him at Ohio State just, you know, on these runs where how they use Tyreek Hill, where the quarterback just pitches it to him and then he takes off. Those type of plays are what Paris Campbell can do. And if he's fully healthy, we're going to see a lot of that. And they loved him. They loved him enough to draft him in the early second. So yeah, if you didn't go out and get him, you're probably too late because his price is probably where it should be now. But if he has an off game week one, still go out and buy him because this is a guy that's ultra talented and a lot of people in the industry really liked. And when you got players like that are going for cheaper than what they should, you've got to jump on the chance to get him.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. You know, one of the savvy moves for you dynasty owners out there is when you look at those players like J-Jaw and Paris Campbell that were going at the end of first rounds in your rookie drafts and they don't do much in their rookie season, then it's time to, like, I haven't coined it. It's from someone else, but buy the dip is what you want to do. And we could see that this year with possibly like a T. Higgins, a Denzel Mims. You're looking at maybe a Van Jefferson. If
Michael Pittman. We were just talking.
True. I think Van Jefferson probably gets on the field, but that could be a guy that if Cooper Kupp isn't re-signed or Bob Woods isn't re-signed, like Van Jefferson could be the dude there. So those are the guys that don't perform in their rookie season that if you still believe in the talent, you want to go and acquire at a discount. That's the way to build a really, really strong squad in Dynasty.
Yeah.
So are you ready, Tyler? We've got Ronald Jones news.
Yeah.
Are you ready? So he had his foot wrapped in ice last Friday, Arians noted. The injury does not look serious. I mentioned Ronald Jones earlier in the same vein as N'Keal Harry, having some really strong days and some kind of not so great days. I think Ronald Jones is going to be the guy, though. I mean, Keyshawn Vaughn was on the COVID list. We haven't really heard much about him. LeSean McCoy is a husk of his former self. Dare Ungabowale, you know, the pass catching back there, I guess, if they needed one. I think Ronald Jones can do it all, and I think that they're going to use him that way. So I actually went out. So in Capitals Picks 2, we had the rookie draft or auction, I ended up winning Keyshawn Vaughn, and I ended up trading.
Hey, me too.
Yeah, and I ended up trading. Right after I won Keyshawn Vaughn, I flipped Nyheim Hines straight up for Ronald Jones. Because I was like, you know what? I'm just going to lock up the Tampa backfield. And now I'm like, man, I'm liking Ronald Jones more and more. And Nyheim Hines, not so much, because I just don't know what his role is going to be. Everyone's like, Austin Eckler, blah, whatever. I don't believe that. But yeah, Ronald Jones, he could be the guy. I think there's still a potential price discrepancy because people think Ronald Jones, and a lot of people are just so disappointed. This is year three, and they just want to get him off their roster still because they don't believe. And those are the type of players. I know, Tyler, you've probably went out and acquired him in quite a few spots.
I'm off.
He's off.
I watched some tape on him during the camp, and he's slow. Like he's gained a total of like 20 pounds from his rookie year, and he's not that type of running back at all. He should be like 210, 205. He should still be that speed back. But when I watched him in the camp, the videos that they have, he just wasn't cutting. Like, it was a full route that he did when he dropped the pass, and it's just like, he better have just been kind of jogging, because that was nothing.
Maybe he was jogging.
It looked like a full route. It looked like he was pushing. Yeah, I just don't see the explosiveness that I saw on tape. I didn't see it. I am not on Rojo anymore. I can't. And it's
I don't even know who you are anymore.
It's just due to him changing his style of play. Like,
well, I was
Melvin
gone
Gordon,
for a week. Did you get abducted by an alien and put back
Melvin
on Earth?
Melvin Gordon was the same way. Melvin Gordon was electric in college, and he decided to work with AP in the offseason, gain upper body muscle, because of course he didn't do leg days.
He skips leg days.
He just turned into this slower, more powerful running back. And it seemed like he just, I don't know. Like we have somebody in the chat saying, get Vaughn for cheap. And yeah, Vaughn has went from a end of the first round guy to where you could probably get him for a second round, even maybe like 2/3 in the 2021 class. You can get him for that price. And I would do that all the time, because I think Vaughn is a very good running back. He's more electric in space. He's a great pass catcher. And we got to remember what Arian said at the beginning of the year. Vaughn has that running back one type style, and he sees him being an every down back. People forget Arians was talking up Keyshawn Vaughn after he got drafted, and then all this Rojo news came out. So I'm still on Vaughn and buying him in this backfield. And who knows? Maybe the running back to own isn't in this backfield. Maybe it's Kareem Hunt in 2021.
No, that, I mean, that is, and or any of these rookies that are declaring.
Yeah, Delvin Cook, but they don't have much cap, so I don't see them signing Cook.
Here's the thing. The cap isn't real. The Vikings go out and trade for Yannick and Ngakoue, and they supposedly didn't have any cap, but they made it work. So they always figure it out.
They had a little over $13 million. They made the trade, and they signed him for a one-year deal for $13 million. Like, they used up all their cap on that trade.
Yeah, there's all restructures you can do. The cap is just, it's liquid. I'm not worried about it. So let's speed things up a little bit here. We've got George Kittle has hamstring tightness. The 49ers obviously are being extra cautious. The 49ers have had injuries to a lot of their pass catchers. So J.J. Nelson.
Debo's coming back.
Supposedly. We'll get there. J.J. Nelson, who they signed, got hurt. Jalen Hurd is out for the year with a torn ACL. And of course, Debo Samuel with the Liz Frank. He supposedly is itching to get back on the field and not miss any time. So for you redraft fans out there, you can get Debo super late, and I love it.
Yeah.
So especially if he only misses a week or two, that's like, okay, I would have normally drafted him as like a wide receiver three in redraft. So I love getting him late in the double digit rounds. So absolutely. So the Niners obviously have some issues with pass catchers. Brandon Ayuk also had a mild hamstring strain. So yeah, season's 10 days away. So we'll see what happens here. But definitely a situation to keep your eye on. Dante Pettis, we haven't heard anything about, so I'm about to drop him off my rosters because I'm just so disappointed.
Right when you drop him, he's going to get cut and go he's going to go to the Patriots and become.
He'll go to the Packers and be like their slot guy and just destroy.
Yeah, that always happens. I mean, there's been so many times where, like, I think there was a time when I picked up Randall Cobb before he actually blew up, and he's just a kick returner, and I'm like, oh. I mean, he's okay. And it was like week two, and I'm like, I need space. Dropped him. Packer fan of mine, Packer fan buddy of mine picked him up used him to win the year.
Oh, man. Yeah. Too bad you didn't drop David Cobb instead. Hey.
I actually drafted him that year.
Oh, God.
That was great.
Wow, that was a tough year, Tyler. Let's not talk about it.
It was a very tough year.
Was it better or worse than 2020, however?
So that was the year I drafted David Cobb ahead of David Johnson, and I was between the two. And I convinced the guy ahead of me to take David Johnson. And I really talked up David Johnson. I'm like, dude, you should take him. He's a stud.
So the correct answer is there is no year worse than 2020. So
that is correct. That is absolutely correct.
It just the hits keep coming, man. I tell you. Anywho, Drew Brees is expecting a breakout year from Tre'Quan Smith. He's in his third year. He's shown some flashes here and there. I think Tre'Quan caught his record touchdown, if I remember correctly, in that big game that Brees had at home. Tre'Quan had like 2 touchdowns and 100 something yards. Are you going out and trying to acquire Tre'Quan for like a third? I think that's probably a pretty easy price to get him at.
No, I'm actually buying Emmanuel Sanders on the cheap, just as a bye week villain or a guy that you can spot start. I don't think he's had a number two like Emmanuel Sanders in his career.
And I'll agree with that. Like, he's always had the Ted Ginns, the Devery Hendersons, the Robert Meachums, like
all those types of guys. Sanders fits his style of play so well, and I think he's actually going to hurt Jared Cook in the end.
But Jared Cook might like it, so who knows?
he'll be on the bench watching as Emmanuel Sanders is catching touchdowns.
He'll be like, ooh, what a great touchdown.
Great catch.
Oh, my God, what a grab. All right, so Carson Wentz, we talked about him a little bit earlier, the Eagles with their injuries. He's day-to-day with soft tissue injuries. Obviously, the biggest thing with Carson Wentz, he does have a bit of an injury history. The reason why I took Jalen Hurts super late in Scott Fishbowl, because it's super flex. And I was like, you know what? It's round 20. Why not take Jalen Hurts? You just never know. So keep an eye on Carson Wentz, obviously. Joe Mixon has been absent from practice, noting migraines. Yeah. Yep, the migraines can be linked to concussions. Mixon, obviously, in contract talks. There doesn't seem to be any kind of real issues here that have come to the surface, unlike Dalvin Cook. So what did we hear about Dalvin Cook today, Tyler?
Well, first, I got news on Mixon. I mean, there's news coming out that Mixon is playing week one. He is going to play. Mixon has come on to that. Now, I heard from Matthew Friedman on a quote from Dalvin Cook. I think it's a quote, but Matthew Friedman on Twitter tonight said that Dalvin Cook said that if he doesn't have a new contract, he would not be drafting himself in fantasy. So that is big talk, especially when you got guys like Maurice Jones-Drew drafting himself over guys like AP and Michael Turner, those humongous years.
Yeah.
But I mean, Dalvin Cook saying that, I just had my only redraft draft tonight, and I drafted Madison in I think the 10th or 11th. And if you don't have Dalvin Cook, you need to go out and get Madison like yesterday. I mean, he is a necessity if you own Cook. I've actually been trying to trade Cook before any news blows up. I hope that they get a contract done. There's no way it's getting done this year. Absolutely no way after the Ngakoue trade.
I just had a t-shirt idea. So you've got Jared Cook in one corner. You've got Dalvin Cook in the other. And they're just kind of looking at each other. And like on the bottom, I could say like just a couple of cucks. Too many cucks.
Too many cucks.
Oh my God. We just went full circle. Like too many cooks.
That's good. That's too many cooks. Great. Too many cooks.
I love
it. Yeah, I am very scared of Dalvin Cook. I wish he could got a contract done, but Madison is a very talented running back. He's super young and
Mike
he's
Boone,
dirt
bro.
Cheap.
Mike
and
Boone.
He's dirt cheap. Vikings are an offense, and like you got to remember where the system comes from. It's a Shanahan system. What happens with the Shanahan system? Any running back is good.
Reads.
Any running back is good. They don't need to pay Dalvin Cook $12 million a year to do the same thing Madison could do, probably
Mike Boone
at 90%. Yeah, Mike Boone. That's going to be an issue. And I do think Cook
Amir
is going to hit free agency.
No, I'm just kidding.
There is,
just kidding.
Don't you?
Just,
you can't say that just, name. It's like Voldemort.
Kidding.
Oh, God.
I'm just kidding.
But no, it scares me. And honestly, with the Ngakoue trade, I do think they want to. They've always been a team that needs 2 solidified defensive ends to run that defense. And Zimmer loves that. Mm-hmm. With Danielle Hunter and Ngakoue, those 2 D ends are going to be unstoppable.
Yeah, it's going to
be. So you know what they're going to do? They're going to probably value Ngakoue more than Cook. Season comes. Cook is probably not going to get a contract. He's a free agent. Madison's a starter. So even if you don't own Cook, go out and get Madison because I do think he has a good future. And I honestly could see him being the starter in 2021 and his value would go through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota, I mean, we were all kind of shocked when they drafted him in the draft. We were like, really? Madison going now? Yeah. Where he was, what, third round? And everyone was like, huh? So they obviously value him. So I like that move quite a bit. Our last bit of news here, Benny Snell is pushing for a role in the offense, and he supposedly is the clear-cut number two behind James Conner. And obviously, we know James Conner's history of injuries, obviously cancer aside. He struggled to be on the field. He's had one healthy year where he played 13 games, and he was awesome. He averaged over 20 points per game when Big Ben was healthy. So, you know, I like James Conner, the player. But Benny Snell could push for a role in that offense. I don't think they're going to give Connor, 350 touches. And, yeah, they've got Anthony McFarland. They've got Jalen Samuels. They've got Kareth White, who I actually like quite a bit, but he probably won't make the team, but whatever. But Benny Snell, he's one of those guys that's kind of boring, but he's slimmed down a little bit. He's looking a little bit faster. So maybe he's not going to be Benny Snell anymore on Player Profiler. We'll see. But yeah, Benny Snell, I think, is an interesting one. He's another guy that I added very late in Scott Fishbowl, just as that flyer. Like, hey, you never know. Like, he could handle 20 carries a game. He's built for it.
Legit is a Steelers running back. He is their style of running back.
It's because he's actually on the team, so he is a legit Steelers running back.
He's the big body. Like, McFarland was the guy that had us all scratch our head. Like, wait, the Steelers drafted McFarland? Like, they haven't had a running back like that since D'Angelo Williams, and they had him late career, D'Angelo Williams. So, can McFarland and Snell work very well together? Yeah,
sure.
Like, super well. It's like a thunder and lightning. I could see them going that route. But Connor's still there. We can't forget. But Connor's also a free agent, and I don't think they will sign Connor. So he'll probably be a free agent next year with Delvin Cook.
So many other running backs free agents next year. Oh, my God. So I just want to let you guys know, support for the Dynasty Happy Hour this week is brought to you by Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. I've got proof. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. They've redesigned the electric trimmer. They spent 18 months on the newly released Lawnmower 3.0. It's pretty freaking awesome. I shave my chest with it more often than I shave anything else. And it does a really, really nice job. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce manscaping accidents. So it's advanced skin safe technology. So you can be a little bit more careless as you groom down there. You don't have to take your time. You can be a little bit more zoom, zoom, zoom and get going on with your day. Everything's premium. The battery lasts 90 minutes. It's got an LED light on it, which is great. It's got water-resistant technology, so you can use it in the shower. They've got quiet stroke technology. We're all good for a quiet stroke every once in a while. 7,000 RPM motor, and it has a charging stand. Thing is awesome. So make sure to trim that junk of yours. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code DHH at manscaped.com. You know who's going to thank you? Your balls are going to thank you. So we've got our stats and stuff segment. It's just Tyler and I tonight. So I'm going to give you info on two mystery players. And then Tyler, you got to let me know if you know who they are, give me some guesses and who you think they are. And then after that, I will reveal who they are at the end and their ADPs. So we've got two wide receivers who are the same age. Wide receiver A, ranked above DK Metcalf, Cortland Sutton, Julio Jones, and DJ Moore in yards per target in 2019. He's never seen higher than a 15.2% of his team's target market share in a season. He's finished as a fantasy wide receiver 3 in 2019, despite sitting at wide receiver 19 on a points per game basis, minimum of 10 games. He's inside the top 20 at the wide receiver position in startup ADP. All right, wide receiver B, outproduced wide receiver A in 2019 with more targets per game, receptions per game, and yards after the catch. He's surpassed 20% of his team's targets market share in each of the past two seasons, topping out at 25% last year. He finished as a wide receiver 2 in 2019, despite sitting at wide receiver 26 on a points per game basis. And he can be drafted about a round and a half after wide receiver A in most drafts. So my first question is, which player would you rather have, player A or player B? The player with better yards per target, better points in per game scoring, but less targets, or the more frequently targeted receiver that costs less in drafts but is less efficient on a per target basis?
Man, oh God, that this is good. This is probably the best that our writing people who write the script have done. Shout out to CDOT and Taylor. I mean, they're fantastic, but I'm going to have to go wide receiver A, and it's because he's in the inside of the top 20 for ADP. which means that he could have some youth, and he's going ahead of DK Metcalf. No, he was ahead.
He's ranked above him. So. Yeah. Yards per target.
But yeah, so I will still go player A. I have absolutely no idea who these guys are. That's my first one.
But Would you like me to just divulge? I'm stumped. All right. So
maybe is one Cortland Sutton?
No, Cortland Sutton is not either one.
Okay.
Any other guesses?
Go.
All right. So player A, who you chose, is Calvin Ridley. And player B is Cincinnati Bengal, Tyler Boyd.
Oh. I mean, I love both players, but I would rather have Calvin Ridley. And
it's a ceiling play.
I feel like this is the second time they've done Boyd. And it's because I think they're really trying. Taylor is a Bengals fan. And I think he's really trying to say, hey, Tyler Boyd is undervalued. Go out and get him. And he is. He could be Joe Burrow's best friend. And like almost like a Robert Woods clone. That's who Tyler Boyd reminds me of, is Robert Woods. Great route runner, always by the ball. Give me that type of player. And he's not going to have that price that Ridley has. He's never going to be at that price because nobody
Ridley's
wants.
Got a lot of buzz over the summer too. It's died down a little bit, but Calvin Ridley was like, the hype train for Calvin Ridley was like peak in about like June. Like you were constantly hearing Calvin Ridley breakout, boop, boop, choo, choo. And then it's kind of cooled down a little bit because there's been other players around that area that have kind of bumped up a little bit. But yeah, Ridley was very hot in the streets in the summer.
Yeah. And Boyd is just a safe guy to have. He is a guy that is
a nice soft blanket.
He's a soft blanket. There's times when Calvin Ridley could be the wet blanket for your fantasy team every once in a while. We'll bring back the wet blanket. We should have an award in season for
there should be a wet blanket t-shirt.
Yes, but and when it's shipped to you, it's soaking wet.
Oh, God. So we just wash it, throw it in a box, and then you got to dry it when you get it.
Yes, and the box is going to be soaking wet. You know how bad cardboard boxes smell when they're wet? Yeah, you're going to get it like that.
Nothing worse than a wet dog, though.
Oh, no. Should we spray that on the... No. Nobody buy it then.
No.
But no, like, I think we're going to make that an award, the Wet Blanket Award, and that's going to be every week in season. So, boom.
I like that. So, Tyler, it's Dynasty Trade Calculator time.
Yeah, we are going to do a little CeeDee Lamb.
Oh.
Now, I'm going to get this pulled up, but give me the structure that you think we should do. Do we do one quarterback?
Yeah, single quarterback.
All right, we're going to do a 12 team. We'll do a single quarterback, non-tight end premium, just a normal league.
Okay.
All right, CeeDee Lamb, what would you give me for CeeDee Lamb?
How about I give you Christian Kirk and a 2021 first?
All right. First, I'll pull up CeeDee.
Are you sharing your screen?
I have the screen up for everybody on YouTube.
Nice.
So CeeDee Lamb in this format is 21.1, and you are offering Kirk and what else?
And a 2021 first. Call it a mid if you need to.
Christian Kirk, which is 13.8. Okay. Very good value still. I actually picked up Christian Kirk in the 13th round of my redraft league, thinking, hey,
nice,
a chance.
I like that.
And then we will go with the
21 mid first.
2021 mid first on the calculator. I think we're going to be over in value. So yeah, I mean, that is a pretty good trade. There's lots of receivers coming out next year. You got the Rashad Bateman, Rondell Moore. There's a bunch of really good receivers coming out next year.
Probably Tamori and Terry from FSU.
Yes. And you've also got to
remember, Jamar Chase, I think, just announced that he's going to come out too.
Yep. And Christian Kirk is a guy that can still be that producer, the wide receiver too. I think Kyler Murray can help out multiple weapons and make them produce. So I'm not scared with Christian Kirk and his value. I do think CeeDee Lamb's value has dropped from the rookie drafts, and it's due to...
Really?
I do, and I think it's due to more hype on Amari Cooper. There are more redraft people. I think Gallup is getting more heat.
He's starting to trot a little bit?
He's starting to trot up in value. So, I honestly do think Lamb is a good buy right now, because do I think he's going to start off hot? No. I do think that he's going to kind of start off slow, and probably by midseason, he starts going up. When Cooper starts getting hurt like he always does, or stops producing, you're going to see CeeDee Lamb.
I kind of almost don't want CeeDee Lamb to do anything his rookie year so I can get him cheap next year.
Oh, yeah. And he's a guy that you can, like, you see videos of him, and it like, he even quotes on his pictures from camp saying, like, yeah, there was two people by me. And he's all alone. And it's because he's just so good in the open field. CeeDee Lamb is going to be fantastic, especially if they can sign Dak long term. So, yeah, but honestly, I would probably do this trade if I had CeeDee Lamb, which I do in UDPL, everybody. So I'm always looking.
And fancy that. I have Christian Kirk.
Oh, there's a chance. There is a chance.
Yeah, we'll see. I like it. Yeah, I think that's... Is that going to wrap up Dynasty Trade Calculator, Tyler?
That is Dynasty Trade Calculator. I was going to do J-Job, but I'll wait for an episode when I can get multiple offers for him because he's a guy I want to buy cheap. Next week, everybody, we're going to do our fantasy awards. We do that every year. We're going to talk about Rookie of the Year. We'll do some defensive Rookie of the Year, too, because I love that defense. Derwin James, get better. Ugh. I just want a full year of him. I had him in an IDP league.
He's so awesome.
Yeah, he's such a good leader. He's such a good football player, but man, can't stay healthy.
We'll have to see it on Hard Knocks on Tuesday.
Yes, that is very true. But yeah, next week's our award show. And then guess what? After that show, Thursday, we got Texans versus the Chiefs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, let's go. We got Mahomes. Oh, it's going to be such a good game. One of the best Thursday night games we've had in a while.
I can't wait for DeMarcus Robinson to have two touchdowns.
Yeah, him or Sammy Watkins have
Ricky Seals Jones gets a touchdown.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins is going to have his week one that he always has. He's going to get overhyped.
Well, the Houston secondary is terrible. So, yeah, he should do well.
That's true. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to have that Kareem Hunt first game where he's going to have like almost 200 yards rushing.
I'm having PTSD against the Patriots. Stop.
Yeah, and he's going to, and his value is going to be like above McCaffrey after that game. Like, we're going to have that week one overreaction, but you know what? I'm here for it and I'm ready because I need football in my life. I need it injected straight in my veins. You want to know why? Because Madden is bad.
I'm not buying it again this year. So it looks like I made the wise decision.
Okay. IGN, who is very lenient with their ratings, especially with bigger companies, gave it a 6. So let's just put it at that.
No bueno, Madden. What's up with that? Fix your franchise mode, you turds. That's really what it comes down to. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up this week. For Tyler, I'm Doug. Make sure you check out DynastyHappyHour.com. Articles on there. Go on iTunes. Obviously, subscribe. Leave a review. Give us some feedback. Thank you for subscribing in advance. And make sure you go on Periscope and YouTube and hit that subscribe button as well. Search Dynasty Happy Hour. We got all sorts of exciting things going on. Hopefully, we'll have Tim back next week. We'll have the Triforce in effect for those awards of the season. And we'll be back next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.